Good evening and welcome to this evening's edition of Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I'm Paul Lutterman Smith, your host for this evening, and our guest tonight is one of our regular hosts of Lehigh Valley Arts Salon, Bathsheba Monk, who is our host for Literary Matters. But tonight, we reverse the tables on her. She is in the guest seat, and we will be discussing literary matters, but those that Bathsheba is responsible for with her new publishing company. That new publishing company, Blue Heron Bookworks. And that's been in existence about the last year or so. And Bathsheba's in the studio to tell us about the book company and in particular all the new books that they've been publishing. Bathsheba, welcome to the guest microphone tonight.
Thanks, Bill. It's nice to be here.
Really glad to have you down here as a guest, and we have lots and lots of material to cover tonight. So, Bathsheba, you yourself are an author, and now you've turned your hand to publishing. So just tell us briefly, quickly, your background.
I'm a novelist, and I had two novels published. And the one thing about being a writer is when people find out you're a writer, they immediately tell you their story. They say, you should really write about me. And when you're writing novels, this is great because you need a lot of stuff in your books to fill it up. And anyway, after my second book was published in 2011, I had some downtime and I started I thought, what can I do to help other people maybe write their stories down? And so I partnered with ArtsQuest and we put on a memoir writing conference. And so that was sort of the beginning of it.
Okay. All right. And things have progressed enormously since then. So about, 12 months ago, you founded Blue Heron Bookworks?
Well, that's when I became officially a company a year ago, but it started really after the memoir writing conference. At the end of the conference, I put a little book together. People gave me like 1,000-word stories that we could put into an ebook that they could share with their friends and families. And what I got out of that was there are an enormous amount of wonderful stories out there that aren't being told, that would never see the light of day in our culture, that's interested in Miley Cyrus, I don't even know her name, but Justin Bieber and all these people that I didn't really care about. And I'm really interested in people who live their lives outside of the spotlight. And there were some fabulous stories. So I was trying to figure out, how can I get these stories out there? And so at that time, ebooks were the thing. And so that's what I started out doing was ebooks mostly.
And memoirs were your first area?
And they were my first area. And I had a business partner at the time. This was over a year ago. And he said, if you want to fund it, though, the thing that really sells are mysteries. And he said, so get writing on some cozy mysteries, which was to fund the venture. And so that's what I started to do. And then I sort of test marketed one memoir. It was called Last Call by Paul Heller. And we were able to get that to be a number one Kindle bestseller. So I said, we're really on the right track here. So then I started to actively seek some more memoirs.
Okay, so your mission basically was to publish work that wouldn't be published by the major publishers, and it wasn't a focus on celebrity, a focus on real people with real lives that everyone could connect with.
Right, right. And in fact, one of the next book that came was from Larry James Neff, and he wrote Rigor about his 30-odd years in the steel company. And and it's a fabulous book, and I was about to publish it just on ebook. And he said most of his readers would be over 60, and they probably wouldn't have Kindles and e-readers and stuff, and would I look into doing it in print? And of course, I was petrified because I didn't know anything about this. But the times were changing, and technology had just coincided with this. And so there was print on demand, and his partner, Jane Gill, actually helped me navigate those waters a little bit, and we found out how to do it in print, on print on demand.
So Rigor was your first book that actually was initially published electronically, and then you put it into a very nice-looking paperback.
Into a very nice-looking paperback, and it's been selling well for a year now. And so that was when I made the decision, I think, that maybe everything should be paper. So that got me started. Thank you, Larry and Jane.
I do resonate with liking to have a paper book in my hand.
Right. I know there's so much emphasis on that, though. People seem to think that, you know, if you don't like, you can have both. It's not even an issue. I don't know why there's that thing about e-books. You know, you can have a
POD. You can have both and take it with you electronically. So, yeah, the combination is good, actually, having both. So you've got, actually, there's four memoirs, including Paul's memoir, then Rigor with Larry Neff. And, in fact, Larry was a guest on here talking about that somewhere in the last year.
Yes. And I just want to mention before we go that Larry is actually signing Rigor books at Chris Kindle Mart till Christmas, I guess he is now. And he just had a big write-up in the United Steelworkers Journal, which is a tremendous vote of confidence in his book because it's a fabulous book. A lot of steelworkers write books, and they never review a book. So this is great for him. So the other books that we have are Like a Dog by Vincent Franconi, which is a memoir about work in Chicago. He's a Chicago writer. And Off Track, or How I Dropped Out of College and Came to Be a Horse Trainer in the 1970s while All My Friends Were Still Doing Drugs, by Jim McGarrah. And he lives in Lexington, Kentucky.
That sounds interesting. I mean, that blurb just piques your attention right away.
I know.
Okay, so you've got all those memoirs, all of them available both electronically and in a nicely produced paperback that you print on demand.
Right.
We'll actually, tell us now where you get the books, and then we'll repeat it again at the end of the program.
Where you get them? Well, all of the books that we have out now are available on Amazon, of course, and you can also order them through indie bookstores like the Moravian Bookshop and Barnes & Noble. So that's really where they are, like every other book.
Pretty much the normal channels.
Right.
Including your own website, which is?
Oh, it's blueheronbookworks.com, oddly enough.
straightforward enough. All one word, right?
All one word, right.
Okay. Right. All right. So we talked about the memoirs that you began with, and then you just mentioned also that you began with a mystery series that you yourself authored. So tell us more about that, the Swanson Herbinko mystery series?
The Swanson Herbinko mystery series, yeah. Well, actually, the first one of those I started when I was living in Boston, and my publisher didn't really want to publish any mysteries, so I just kind of put it aside. And when my business partner said, we have to start doing mysteries, I thought, well, I already have a character, so I'll start just writing more of these. And it turned out to be actually an enormous amount of fun. And but then I started running out of places. The first one's set in Boston. The second one is set in Paris, France, which I know a little bit. The next one is set in Tulum, Mexico. It's a yoga retreat in Tulum, Mexico, which I also know a little bit about. And then I couldn't write and publish at the same time. I was just running out of time. So I put the call out for some ghostwriters or some people who would like to write it with me, or at least some plots. Give me some plots. And so I found two young writers who wanted to do this, and one of them worked out very well, and the other one didn't. And Joe Tolarowski, he handed in his book a couple months ago, and it was Dead Stick. It's set in a small airport, which is fabulous in Massachusetts. And I had a very unnerving feeling when I started to read it, because it sounded like me. It sounded like I wrote it, and that was very disconcerting. But anyway, he's now taken over the series, and he's under contract to write another book. And so I have high hopes for that, funding this whole thing.
So your literary identity has been stolen here, right?
It's been stolen, yeah, happily stolen.
So you have three out that you wrote yourself, and then you co-authored one with Joe.
Joe Tolarowski, right. Okay. And they're all, now they're all out in, they're all out in paperback and ebook. So.
And Joe is continuing.
He's continuing
under
on,
his name, right?
Yes.
Okay,
right.
Great. So that's a full series. And then they are, I think there's a pretty enticing read, right? And they're quick.
They're very quick reads. I think our tagline on them is smart, sexy, fun. The heroine is a 30-year-old amateur sleuth. She's a divorce lawyer, and she keeps stepping over bodies to get to the divorce. So, and she has the typical 30-year-old's problems of boyfriends, although her boyfriends keep dying, and shoes and yoga and all that stuff. So it's great. They're very fun.
So interesting, a male author has taken that over and been able to emulate your style.
I know. I think it's a fabulous talent he has, and I don't want to tell him how good he is until he's run out of stuff to say.
Okay. All right. So that's the Swanson Herbinko series, and they're both online and paperback as well, you said, right?
That's right. That's yep. right.
Okay. And you also have a young adult series, I believe.
Right. We haven't started really promoting this. It's called Have a Life series by a young author, Maddie Wells. And the first one is called Have Love, and that one isn't out yet, but it's going to come out probably after the first of the year. The second one, Have Mercy, is out, and that's about a young musician, a 15-year-old musician who's trying to find her voice. And her father is a famous metal rocker, actually. And and the last one is Have Faith. And that's about a young woman who is, she's babysitting for two twins. And she favors one twin, of course she would. And a hurricane comes, a tornado comes and takes the roof off their house. And she's able to save one and not the other.
Oh.
And so it's what happens then with her. So... guess which one she saved. Okay.
And going back to the one, the girl who wants to become a folk musician or a musician.
A musician,
with a father who's a musician. Is that partially based in reality, or is it entirely fiction?
I don't know. I think Maddie probably wanted to be a musician. I think a lot of young people do, but I don't think she ever really made it quite over that hump. And so that's what this book is really about, her own struggle to find her voice and what that means, you know, before finally realizing that if you're an artist, you find your stories, you find your music in yourself. You don't get outside. You don't find it outside.
Right. Okay, good. Hey, that sounds like an interesting young adult, but it sounds enticing. Bathsheba, how about, I know you brought a number of the books with you.
Mm-hmm.
How about choosing a segment to read that will take us into the first break?
Okay, this is from Off Track by Jim McGarrah. This is this man, he came back from Vietnam and he was having problems relating to people. And his father bought a horse, a racehorse, and he volunteered to train it and he got a new career. So this is a little paragraph from Jim's book. I met Ruth, the woman who ran this track for the Ellises, for 3 decades when I was a green kid in 1978. My upgrade from groom to trainer was so recent that the Polaroid snapshot on the license hadn't fully developed. But Ruth was already an icon. I had a stable full of cheap claiming horses with me, and I had shipped the horses from a training center in Lexington, Kentucky. It was hot. I was exhausted from the strain of trying to do everything right. The security guard told me there was no stall space for my stable and I couldn't unload. The horses were sweating and thirsty. They stomped and snorted, rocking the van, while I stomped and snorted around the guard shack. I prayed none of them would throw themselves down and injure a leg. A golf cart, groaning under the weight of a huge woman, careened around the corner. There she sat like a Tahitian queen on her throne, reading the Coggins test and past racing results on my thoroughbreds. The guard seemed to shrink inside his uniform as she barked. Let him unload, stupid. We've got room, and we sure as hell can't run a race meet without horses. When she spoke, her hand caressed the only other rider I ever saw in that cart, a 357 Magnum with an extended barrel. Ruth never once looked in my direction.
And that came from Off Track by...
Jim McGarrah.
Okay, thank you for that reading. You are listening to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon on 88.1 WDIY. Our guest tonight is Bathsheba Monk, and we're talking about her book publishing company, Blue Heron Works, and the wide range of books which are already out on this one-year-old Lehigh Valley company. We will be right back after this announcement.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
And we are back with Lehigh Valley Arts Salon with Bathsheba Monk. And we've been talking about lots of the books being published that she is publishing now under her Blue Heron Bookworks imprint. We've talked about a whole range of them, which are already out. And you have a brand new anthology, which is coming out this week, I believe, right?
I hope tomorrow, God willing, and if the creek don't rise, as they say, right? It should be out tomorrow.
Tell us, Songs of Ourselves is the name of the anthology, right? With 24 different authors, including 7 of those who are locally based. And Bathsheba, a couple of those are well-known to WDIY listeners.
Right. Two of them, George Miller, who's also a host on
of this program,
and Pamela Varconi, who does Discourse, Lehigh Valley Discourse on Thursdays sometimes, are both contributors to this anthology.
Along with another 22 other
authors. Along with other 22. And there's other local ones, Paul Heller, Judy Miller, Bruce Boyer, Mort Miller, Linda Marsh. And the editor and who wrote the introduction is Mary Lawler, who's Professor Emerita from Muhlenberg.
And also has been a guest on here and an author in her own right.
Yes.
With Abe.
She did a memoir, Fighter Pilot's Daughter, about growing up in the 60s.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she's edited this all. The title is loosely inspired by Walt Whitman, right?
It's inspired by Walt Whitman, yeah. The genesis of this book is kind of interesting. I never intended to do an anthology, and it started with actually Mort Miller telling me he had all these letters he wrote to his daughter at camp from the dog. And I said, well, that's interesting. Give me these letters. And I thought it'd make a great book. And it turned out it was only 14 letters. I said, I can't do anything with this. And then we started getting more submissions that were short. But I liked them. They spoke to something that we were interested in. And so then it occurred to me that these were all like American voices. And just because they were short, I didn't feel like I could just discard them. So that's when the anthology was born.
Okay, so you needed a vehicle for, you had good contribution, but short, and you could combine them all together. And you refer to it as loosely inspired by the Whitman poem Song of Myself. You have authors from all over the country writing about America's interior landscape, but you don't actually mean interior in a geographic sense. What do you mean?
I mean what they're thinking about. You know, if I were an alien from another planet and I came here, I would think that all we were interested in is fighting about politics and celebrities. And this the writing that I was getting from these authors was they're interested in a lot of different things that really interested me, like their relationships with animals out in their backyard, that their jobs, a lot of them are their jobs, or just finding themselves in different situations that, with detail, this one woman was writing a series of emails to her son. His father, her husband, had just died, and all of a sudden he wanted to know now, before he lost her too, what was your life like? What was it about? And so her emails are in here, and they're fabulous. Another one is from a Chinese American man who left China when he was very young, and leaving his father behind. He came here with his mother. And these are letters to a father he never saw again. Mm. And they move me deeply. And then the father died before he could get back. You know how your life is. You make one excuse after another. I don't have money this year. I don't have the time. And then all of a sudden it's gone.
It's gone. It's too late.
Mm-hmm. So that's what this book is. It's very moving. And it's what we're thinking about.
And some, we can all resonate with some of them. There's a lady in there who jots down information, in fact, car plate numbers of drivers who've driven atrociously and cut her off.
Mary Flood, yeah, that's hysterical. That's hysterically funny. She did a blog called Road Warrior, and she goes around taking down bad behavior on the road and taking their license plates numbers down. She writes them down. So.
I'm putting in her blog, and you've got significant excerpts from her blog in the book.
I do, yeah. Yes. They're very funny.
Did you have a segment you wanted to read from Songs of Ourselves?
Yes, I do. This is Allentown author Paul Heller. Actually, he wrote the book Last Call, which we published, that went to number one, as I said. So this is, he has a business in Allentown, and this is a short piece about that. On Lumber Street, unloading onto my warehouse dock. It's 93 degrees, has begun to rain lightly. Andy, Bill, and Romeo are soaked with sweat. A little hoodlum, maybe 8 or 9, gallops across the dirty, wet alley. What are you doing? Unloading furniture from an auction. He's 5'2", no shirt, no shoes, dripping socks, a dirty blonde buzz cut. He nods appraisingly, rubs his chin, introduces himself. I'm Matthew. I'm Paul. We smile at each other and nod. Matthew grunts with my guys as they wield a conference table. That's big stuff. Where'd you get that stuff? I told you, at an auction. Where are your shoes? In my bedroom. Mom's in there. Oh, don't drop it. Don't drop it, ha. Does she know you're out here? Nah. She doesn't care? Nope. Where's your father? Mom threw him out last week. The cops came. He doesn't pay his bills. They're coming back for me. Yeah, why is that?
Because I smoke cigarettes and drink coffee. Yep.
Where do you get the cigarettes? The babysitter gives them to me. She lives down the block. She lets me smoke for not telling Mom that she goes home as soon as Mom leaves.
How many do you smoke at a time?
5. He dances across the alley. Come here, Paul. He points at an oil slick. Look, a rainbow.
Nice. Nice piece. All right, so let's move on and talk actually about the Blue Heron Bookworks itself. As the publisher, we've sampled a whole pile of the different works here. But tell us about the scope of the work artistically. Tell us a bit about the range of publishing services you provide. Maybe perhaps a bit more about the type of production where produced. And in particular, how do you differ from the major publishing houses that you had previously worked with who had published your earlier works?
Would you repeat? No, I'm only kidding. Well, we mostly specialize in memoirs. And the memoirs that have to do with people actually doing something, as we say on our website, we want memoirs that... we don't want people who are recovering from drug or alcohol problems unless they joined the circus to get over their problems. You know, I want things. I want actual things that you can visualize and people can go on the trip with you, that they can go on your journey. So memoirs are our focus, and also series fiction.
Yep.
So that's why we have the young adult series and the mystery series. And we also have another one, another woman, Laura Liebritz, who lives in Germany, and she's writing a trilogy, a historical trilogy, about Germany in the 1640s, which is around the time of the Thirty Years' War, when the Catholics and Protestants and, oddly enough, witchcraft were all combining together. And in fact, Bamberg, Germany, had more witch burnings than Salem, Massachusetts did. So anyway, that's our focus, is series fiction and memoirs.
Okay, and sort of a business model of how you differ from major publishing houses?
Well, we don't. What we do is, after we select a work, we will work with the author. I mean, usually they don't come to us fully formed. We have to do major editorial work on them. And I think that's where we really differ from the big houses, is that we can, since we don't have as many titles as they do, we can focus on putting them into good shape. But having gone through that process myself in a big house when they weren't so busy, I know what that's like. And so we can provide that service to our authors. And we get everything ready. We get it all set up in the books and in the ebook format. And we help them with a marketing plan. And we absorb the upfront costs. And there we go. And the production, though, is print on demand. Like I said, it's print on demand and ebooks. So we don't have a warehouse or anything. We don't have little guys printing things in the basement.
Right. You don't have some big stock to look after, and you don't have end of runs to dispose of.
Right, no remainders.
Right, no remainders. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. And I think you mentioned to me earlier also, part of your model is continuous support of an author and continual promotion of the book. It's not just 3 months when the book comes out and then it gets dropped. That you'll keep working with the author and keep the book visible.
Right. Most the publishing business, the big six as I call them, you have like a 3-month window of opportunity to get your book out there and get it reviewed, but I'm always looking for ways that my authors can benefit. So like this the Off Track, the horse racing book, next year I'll do another push when it's time for the Kentucky Derby, for example, and you know, and I won't let up on that. And Whereas other houses would just right. lose interest.
So basically, individual attention to the authors based on the niche markets that you're
right,
aiming for.
Right.
Okay, look, quickly, would you like to really quickly mention any new works in the pipeline? And then also quickly hit, in addition to book publishing, do you still manage to find time for other projects yourself? And I think you do.
I kind of do. I don't sleep. We do have some coming up. I'd like to mention Lenny Godfrey, who's a well-known local talent director, and chanteuse,
yep.
is writing her memoir, which should be out in January, Sharing Lessons I Learned While Seeking the Spotlight. And Fanny Barry is going to be writing about her time in Mexico as a yoga instructor, and Paul Misencheck, Born to Fly, about his career as an airline pilot.
Hmm. Okay, so wow, you've got a lot of stuff happening.
I do.
Yeah, you do. and the other stuff outside book publishing, really quickly, and then we'll...
Right. I'm working on a pilot with for my first novel that was published, Now You See the Stories from Cokesville, PA. I'm writing a pilot with Jonathan Taylor Thomas, who is an actor and now a director and producer, to do a pilot of that book, hopefully for a TV series.
Mm-hmm.
And in March at ArtsQuest, there'll be a rehearsed reading of my play Lois's Wedding, which is about fracking, and Lenny Godfrey will be directing that.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, you have a busy time indeed.
I do.
Bathsheba, we have run out of time, and it's time for us to get to the at the movies section. Thank you so much for being the guest today, and you'll be back as a host sometime pretty shortly, I expect.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for talking to us about your new endeavor with Blue Heron Bookworks.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, you're very welcome. And next up on Lehigh Valley Arts Salon, at the movies.